I don't know. Duck and cover, bitches.
Everyone, to a bonus episode because we are bored AF.
Yes, bored as
fudgesicles. Fudgesicle would be good. We're almost done with our half gallon of cookie and creams ice cream. I just realized we just got it a few days ago. We need to get
half
another one.
Half a gallon, nice. Well done.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty good at eating ice cream, not going to lie. So, hi, as you all know, and I'm sure you all are the same unless you're an essential employee or your boss is an asshole, we are in quarantine / self-isolation / trying to flatten the curve.
We are in the middle of a particularly dangerous situation.
We are. Right? And what's funny is for Brett and I mean, we already record remotely, so this is nothing new for us in the podcast. I know a lot of people have been trying to figure out, and I've been giving them advice. Yeah, like we do this anyways. I do want to say that we did a virtual happy hour with some friends recently.
Fantastic. So much
fun.
So fun.
So fun. Caleb was so happy to see Brett's face because it's been so long. And AJ. And I drank way too much. I was very hungover the next day. We tried to play virtual King's Cup, which kind of just made up. And it was the best, worst idea ever.
It was epic. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I think AJ enjoyed himself. I know everybody else on the podcast. Look at me, I'm encarling everybody. Hello, we're all podcast together. Everybody else on the call had an amazing time. So it was great. Super.
I think we're gonna do another one this weekend. This weekend we're planning to do Cards Against Humanity. I'll put the link in the description on how to do that. Just a link to what we're going to try to use. I have to test it out, but I saw it on Facebook. And so we're going to try it out this weekend, but I'll do a tester before that of how to play Cards Against Humanity virtually.
Good idea, Bri. Gosh, look at you sharing and caring. I love this. Yay.
I'm trying. I know we're all so bored. I started school.
I'd share and care, but my life literally sucks. I'm so bored. I get up in the morning, I walk the dog, and then I do like her regular walk at like 8. I'll either go for a run or do a short workout. I'll come back. I'll take a nap after I eat breakfast. And then I will read. I'm reading this great book.
Ooh, what you
really recommend? Jennifer McMahon. It's probably McMahon, but The Invited. The Invited is a very creepy, scary book about a woman who is a historian. And her husband decide to move out to the country, and she starts having these visions and these visitations, and they're related to objects that she's putting into the house. So that they're building on this haunted area. So it's really fantastic. I'm almost at the end, so I'm kind of like really trying to stretch it out because it's such a good book. So I may actually download some of her other books on my Kindle, but this I happened to purchase when I was on my trip last week. So for those of you who may not know, and who probably will shame me, just like several handful of people did vacation shamed me. But AJ and I had a trip planned in early March to go see my folks in Florida. And we had also decided to go to the Keys. At that time, the Keys was not affected. Everybody was not practicing social distancing. It was a big party. It was kind of like being in Mardi Gras. It was the early part of spring break. And we enjoyed ourselves thoroughly, but we also stayed very safe. So we used hand sanitizer. We washed our hands consistently. We were trying to do our best to keep our social distance. But of course, again, you get drunk and that's what happens. So I understand why they closed bars down. But right after we left, they put the kibosh on bars. And then we flew home and we're kind of really glad that we did what we did when we did it because I got to see my folks. My parents are elderly. My parents are in their 70s. And of course I worry incessantly about their health and their safety. So it was like, okay, I would at least like to see my folks because if anything did happen, like, you know, so, I'm glad I got to see them and I'm glad to be home, but
say, as soon as you got back, you went straight into lockdown because when Brett was gone was when things started to go in lockdown. Things weren't locked down yet. And people were still, I mean, like, me being paranoid Brina right away was like, everyone stay home. Nobody move. But I still went to class Thursday. It was mid-March, the week before finals. So it was like Thursday the 13th. I still went to class.
And everything was business as usual.
And I feel like I kind of had to. And then because, and I was already like, these numbers are getting too big. I was doing a lot of hand sanitizer because I do take the bus. And so I was like trying to keep my distance from people and using hand sanitizer and washing hands. But the issue is a lot of people just don't do that. Part of the issue.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's so just kind of normal course of business. Everybody just like a lot of people, touching your face. Holy shit. Oh, like, do you know how hard that is not to touch your face?
I am kind of glad that I've been quarantined at home because I always touch my face. And so I've been living with hand sanitizer too, like in class, because I know I touch my face and eat and stuff. So it's like hand sanitizer, washing hands, using my sleeve to open doors, which just means germs now on my sleeve versus my hand, and hand sanitizing again. It's just, it's kind of,
I mean,
nice.
I feel like my, my experience in the service industry, I don't do it a lot when I'm at work. Because I'm super cognizant of that.
Yeah.
But outside of that, knowing that I can't do it at work, it's like then I go into overdrive and I'm like, you know, like, what is wrong with me? So y'all, Brett is jobless. Yeah. What up? Fun employment.
I'm really jobless right now.
I know. Everybody's jobless right now. So
Kayla, my husband is also, because he's a prep cook for his normal job. He's still volunteering for the firefighting, but that's only one.
Yay. So. And applause to him, because people like that are amazing. So yay. And you know, all of our local heroes, and it's kind of sad. It's like, I don't want to get too much into like Politico and all that shit, but I feel, you know, super, super grateful that we have the people that we do working the front lines in the essential businesses, like the pharmacies, the grocery stores, the people who are doing stock, anybody who's working in the shipping industry right now. Mm-hmm. I am so, so, so grateful for you guys. Like, I can't begin to shower my praises enough to say thank you for working through this. You're the real heroes, and we are so grateful for you.
Most of us. I know some people are still assholes. As someone,
some people are still assholes, yes.
Yeah, there's still, I'm hearing some awful horror stories, but some good ones too. As someone who also used to work in the, actually a couple of grocery stores.
Ooh.
I guess this gets too political almost, but they need to be paid more before this.
And agreed.
Exactly how, and the hazard pay they're getting, which a lot of places is just like $2 an hour more or $150 a week. I'm sorry, I don't feel like that's enough.
No.
Because people here, already two people from the grocery store, when our grocery stores got sick.
Yeah.
I don't think it's enough.
No, I don't. And honestly, Brie, I kind of hope that post coronavirus that our government begins to recognize, or you know how like we always talk about like in a particularly dangerous situation where we have these weather events that occur that create these new statutes. If a new statute doesn't come out of this saying that we need to pay these workers a higher wage than other workers, I'm going to be shocked.
Even
I really
just
hope
that, like,
it does.
Minimum wage isn't enough, because minimum wage is supposed to be a living wage.
Nope.
Whoever says
wage.
It's a wage for teenagers, that's actually not true whatsoever. There is nothing that links to minimum wage being for teenagers. Minimum wage, as long with work hours, has been done through different labor activists.
Yeah.
So they could have a living wage. And that's also linked to children, like child labor laws. Why we have those too is these came up in like unions because workers weren't being treated right. And so minimum wage is supposed to be a living wage, which includes food and shelter. Now that I'm going to step off my pedestal.
And y'all know that I live in California. So hell no, when it comes to being like, that's a livable wage for me.
Oh, God,
it's just not. I mean, even as a waitress / bartender, like I'm not saying I'm getting by in the skin of my teeth. I make very good wages where I'm at. I love the place that I work. And I appreciate all of you, if any of you are listening in the San Jose Campbell area, that are frequenting our restaurant for to-go. Love, love, love it. They also started doing to-go liquor.
Nice.
Very happy about that. The first day I saw that, I was like, we're getting margaritas.
Yeah.
So I love it. I love the support. I'm going to give a brief shout out actually to John Krasinski, if I'm saying that correctly, the guy from The Office. He actually created a new television show called SGN on YouTube. Yep.
the good news with Steve Carell.
Yes. Oh. Some good news. Yes. Some good news. And I love it. And it's so great. AJ watched it and he was like, well, it's a little long. And I'm like, yeah, it is. But you know what? We all need good news. And to focus on the positive in such a really difficult time is such a great thing. So God bless that man. He's amazing. Emily Blunt, you're a lucky lady.
Oh man. I think right? That's important too, because we're so, everything is COVID, which for someone with my like ADHD, in a way that I cope is knowing every single thing that I can about something that, like what's going on now. So I'm very well versed in COVID right now.
Very well educated in COVID.
Yeah. Which reminds me, this podcast Will Kill You also has a great 6 episodes.
Yes. Yes. They just did one. I actually, that's on my to-do list, in terms of listening.
It's so good. I listened to it. I took 3 days. So I separated in 3 chunks.
Great. Yeah.
I am going to add these also in the description.
This is Particularly Dangerous Situation.
Hi, y'all.
Hi.
Hi, PDS babes.
PDS babes.
I'm starting to put that in my hashtags. I'm like, PDS babes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That might be our people name. That our is our fan names. PDS babes.
I like it. PDS babes. Guy or girl, doesn't matter.
Give a shout out to Paige Wirt, who created us an amazing graphic that I will be posting soon. We're playing with some of the font on it. I sent her a planner and some pens as a thank you, because she's also a pen stationery lovey. You're amazing. But so y'all will see it very soon. It is a really kick-ass graphic that's going to be on t-shirts and definitely posters and stickers, because it's asking for that. She created it. Like, she made it. She's so talented, and I'm just so stoked. So we're excited to share that once we get a chance to.
Funny story. When you said her name, the first thing I thought of was my college roommate.
Oh, really?
Katie Wirt.
Oh, how funny. She's married to one of my high school friends, actually, Matt. Nice. And we met her, and we just clicked right away.
God, wouldn't that be crazy if, like, she was related to my old college roommate?
Probably by marriage then. But, yeah, maybe Katie's related to
Katie
Matt.
Did have a brother.
I don't know about his sister. I don't remember. So today in our bonus episode, I guess I'm going to start.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I believe it's a good idea for you to start.
All right.
I'm very excited. I'm super stoked on this. I'm going to apologize in advance if we have a little dog growling in the background. I'm recording from my bedroom, and we have the windows open, so my dog likes to sit and make sure that nobody is going to infringe on the social distancing, even though we're yards, many, many yards away from the store. She sees a dog or a person, and she starts to growl. So I apologize in advance if you hear a little grizzling. That's not my stomach. That is my dog.
And also, I'm going to, Brett's mic does not sound awful, but it is not the normal quality, because work at home hus means that she can't use the desk. So she's holding the mic. I'm going to try to edit what I can, but it WFH, doesn't sound bad
babes.
To me.
WFH.
Yeah.
Working from home.
It's really not awful. It sounds like a little telephone, but not bad.
Yeah.
I would say. I think it sounds fine. It's better than what mine sound like sometimes.
What if I do this? I'm literally touching the mic with my mouth. COVID!
Oh, God.
Coronavirus! I am not good as Nicki Minaj, but...
Oh, I was going to say, the last episode, some of my vocals got all kind of weird and a little gainy, and I tried to fix it as much as I could. And then, because the editing at some point, I just go, fuck it, close enough.
Agreed. All right. Yep. Okay. All right, girl, let's do this. Let's get into it.
My disaster, I'm going to give the references later for reasons. It happened in 2008. So I kind of wrote this down. So hopefully this will make sense. Okay. Trying to summarize what happened was a little bit more difficult than I thought, but I think it's going to be okay. You ready? All right. So most of the information I got for this disaster is video recordings from Rob Hawkins' camera. So the footage was found by the United States Department of Defense in what was formerly known as Central Park in New York City. So this area is now known as US 447. So he was originally recording his brother's farewell party, and it was a Thursday, May 22nd, 2008, and it was just like any other day. He was recording, and then his friend Hud, I think is his name, took the camera and was like, his brother was moving with his with the girlfriend somewhere. I think he was going like Japan or something. And so Hud was like, say goodbye, give messages.
Oh, so like a little farewell video.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so nice.
So during the recording, the lights turn off. And while the building is shaking, causing a shit ton of fear, of course. So they turn on the news. I mean, 2008, so no one looked at the phone. They turn on the news and said there was an earthquake that caused an oil tanker to capsize in lower Manhattan. And so
everyone's
like, holy shit, what's going to happen in New York, right?
Oh, God.
So kind of made me think of the lake that we talked about recently with a huge whirlpool.
Yep.
Because of the oil tankers.
Everyone's going in the Hudson River. Everyone.
Yeah. This didn't have anything to do with drilling, though, which is kind of weird. So... This chaos prompted everyone to run to the roof of the apartment building because they're in like a hella huge apartment building in New York. And that's when they see a fucking explosion. But then they're quickly surprised by seeing a damaged Statue of Liberty. So.
Oh, hell no.
They actually see the head fly and land in the city. So it's like.
What?
Yeah. So like Statue of Liberty is all on fire.
Oh my God.
Head just like. Is thrown almost, I guess, into the street by them. So it's like they look down like, holy shit, that's the head of the Statue of Liberty.
Holy shit.
Could you imagine seeing this and like experiencing this?
I would freak the fuck out.
Yeah, I would like, just like hide. You can't hide, right?
Isn't like, that statue made of like iron?
I think so.
It's that's what would do that? What the fuck? What the fuck?
Apparently, I mean, at this point, maybe they're thinking it's like the tanker explosion, but I don't think it can be that. A group of them from the party begin to walk the streets. So the group consists of Rob, his brother Jason, who the party was for, Jason's girlfriend Lily, Marlene, and Hud. And Hud.
Okay, so that's a good idea. Let's just walk the streets. Like, who does that? Come on.
Well, because the building like was shaking. I think they were trying to like, escape.
I mean, I get if you're like in a very tall building, like New York's made a lot of tall buildings, like, you know, like any kind of situation that's there, that's dire, get the hell out of the tall buildings. I get it, but walk the streets. Shit.
Yeah.
Wait, Cray?
It's fucking like scary.
Hook her down.
So they like their journey takes them across the Brooklyn Bridge to start going over the Brooklyn Bridge to try to save a friend of theirs. So Rob used to date or got hooked up with this chick Beth. They like hooked up or whatever and then they separated. And so now Rob's like, I'm gonna go save Beth. So they're crossing the Brooklyn Bridge to go towards that there.
Now, was she at the party or was she not at the party?
So I think she might have came to the party and then left the party.
So it was a little awkward, I'm sure.
Someone else.
Especially yeah, I think oh shit, she brought someone else?
I think she brought someone else and I think
they
were
no, at the party. Oh, hell no, bitch. Don't do that. That's messed up.
Super, super shady.
Awkward. So she was probably like, you know what? Fuck this. I should probably take off.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think it's something like that because there's like some recording of them talking. In the recording in the beginning of the video that they have. Rob is like talking to Beth on the phone. And as they cross, the bridge begins to completely collapse.
Oh shit.
So some of them made it off the bridge, but not all of them.
Oh damn.
So unfortunately Rob's brother is not one of them that makes it.
Oh yeah. No.
Super, super sad. Definitely shed
some tears. My God. That's so awful.
Yeah. And then shortly after, Hud sees how the bridge collapsed. It seems a large object was fighting against the military.
Oh my God.
And hit the bridge. So it's just like this huge thing. It kind of looks like a tail, hits the fucking bridge.
A tail? Oh my God. What the fuck? What the fuck?
So this is when they see some of the creepiest, gnarly ass, big ass spiders.
Oh my God.
They're referred to as parasites, and they're huge, some of them being as large as humans. So they meet the spiders again, trying to make it to another part of the city to save their friends. Still, they decide to walk down a subway tunnel, which of course is fucking like black.
Little side note here, interesting story that may be related, may not, but it wasn't in 2008, but there was a really bad rainstorm in Philly when I was living with AJ in like 2012 or 2000, it might have been 2011. Not joking. He works in the Comcast building, which is one of the tallest buildings in Philly. Mm-hmm. And they swear it rained spiders.
Ew.
Like rain spiders.
Ew, ew.
Yeah.
Ew.
They were everywhere, all over the building. And I was like, what the fuck?
Nope.
Ew.
Would not want.
Okay. So this makes me think that something similar is going on.
Yeah.
Something happened. The earthquake opened something.
Yeah. And like when I watch the video, they call them parasites. They look like fucking huge ass spiders that like bite you and they jump nasty. Onto you. Yeah. Nope. They're fucking nasty. And they can like bite into you when the girl gets bitten, actually. So the subway is all closed down. So that's why they start going through the subway tunnels, because they're like, we can do this. So Lily, one of the girls, gets really deep, intense bites from the spiders. And at some point they like move up like to the ground level and they're grabbed by the military. And there's this makeshift hospital, which apparently is, my brain's going out. Bloomingdale. It's like in the Bloomingdales in New York.
Oh, so okay. So they just are like, we're going to take all the space and we're going to do this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe it's Marlene that actually gets bit, because Marlene brutally meets her end due to her wounds. So the bites cause bleeding from the eyes, and quickly after there's like an explosion within the body. It's like bleeding from all the orifices. It's so fucking gnarly, because they like, as soon as she's bleeding from the eyes, she's like, I'm not feeling well. And then like people, the doctor.
That's like Ebola on steroids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking gnarly. They like grab her and go behind like this sheet thing doorway, and all of a sudden she explodes and it's fucking gnarly. Mm. What the fuck causes that? Apparently the parasite bites. Fucking gross.
Jesus.
Yeah. This must be the venom.
So, oh my God.
Still not done. Almost done though. Those still alive in the group are offered to escape from the city through the military. Like, you can like evacuate with us. But Rob still wants to finish the mission to save his friend. Of course.
Yeah.
So they decide to come back to leave the city at the indicated 6 a.m. evacuation deadline. That's the one that the military guy gives them.
He's like, okay. So they're actually given a time.
Yeah.
Like you have to be here at this time or you're stuck in the city.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I think that might be when they mention Hammer Down Protocol, which we'll go into a little bit in a second.
Okay.
So when they finally make it to their friend's building, they see it's fallen and leaning against another building.
Oh, God.
So like, how the fuck do we get in there? So they had to climb the many, many floors of stairs in the building that wasn't leaned over.
Because, of course, you can't take an elevator.
No, yeah, because they're all out.
Oh.
And I think, all right, they had to climb many flights of stairs, like a lot. Like a lot, a lot. Like, it's like 12 flights of stairs, and I was done for like a week.
So much, a lot.
More than that. Yeah. a lot.
Man.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. So they finally made it to where the other building is leaning into the building that they climbed into, and they climb over to her building and track down her apartment. So they kind of climb kind of to like the roof of her building then, because it's like tilted into. So imagine if Leaning Tower of Pisa actually leaned into another building. So
they're accessing the building because it's leaning against it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's kind of hard to explain sometimes, now I realize, like when you're explaining it and not seeing it.
I mean, I can imagine like something leaning against something, and it's like, if you're on the rooftop, you would literally use that rooftop as an angled sort of like, kind of like a ramp.
Yeah.
And like get up on it and then try and work your way down. Now, if the building's leaning, you're definitely going to go through some curious and like really difficult ways to get into the upper floors if it's already leaning against there.
Yeah. They had to almost like climb the roof, because the roof is really more vertical than horizontal.
Right.
So exactly that.
Leaning against the other building. So that makes sense. But God, unstable. Hello.
Yeah. And scary. So you're kind of climbing a building. I have no upper body strength. I would apparently these people know.
I'm relying entirely on my quads.
Yeah, that's all I can. My glutes and quads.
That's all I can contribute to this.
So finally, like they get in there and then they track down her apartment. And when they find her, they make it to her apartment. She is impaled by a metal rod. It's kind of hard to tell where the metal rod is. I want to say it's by the shoulder, but I could be wrong. But she is like, it's like a building rod that's in her. And somehow.
So what do they call, what are the, rebar?
Yeah.
Called rebar. I remember learning about that when I was working at Heckinger's. I don't know. I don't think anybody remembers Heckinger's, but they're really old. They're like, they were the early competition for Home Depot. And I learned about rebar there, and it's really, it's about like anywhere between a quarter to a half inch thick.
Yeah.
And it's really very, it's like enforced metal, and they use it to like build bridges and shit. That's like the little metal pokey things that you see sticking up when they're building bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like foundations too sometimes. Yep. Like, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Crazy.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So fucking crazy. I can't imagine how much that hurt. So somehow they lift her off.
So she's still alive.
Yeah, she's still alive. She lives quite a bit after that, actually. I mean, in relative of
good her for her.
Development. Yeah. Fucking bam.
Bam.
And they like as a group lift her off and she screams, of course. You don't quite see that in the camera because HUD had to put the camera down to do it. Yeah. Fucking disgusting. I definitely cringed.
Yeah.
So they've been getting peeks here and there of the monster. So now they kind of establish it's actually a monster. The whole time I'm kind of like, are you sure? Like that doesn't seem right. But apparently, I don't know, there's Loch Ness and shit out there, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's a fucking monster that's not Godzilla in New York. I'm sure a lot of you remember this. I was off in my own world, not remembering it as much.
No.
Yeah. I guess because I wasn't up there. So now they can really see it as the military tried to shoot and bomb it. So they're like in the streets and
they're shooting.
Yeah. And Lily, one of the girls that has been part of the group, gets on the helicopter by herself and the rest remaining to get into another. So they're like running across the street, trying to find the evacuation area. And it's like kind of like getting closer to daylight, but not quite. And the some of the like soldier guys just grab her and like, get on. And they're like, we have to separate. And she's like, okay, yeah. So she gets on. And then as the fucking gun fight is going on behind them and explosions are happening, they think it is over. So the other people get into a helicopter as well. So the rest of the remaining get in. So it's like HUD, Rob, and Beth. I think that's all that's left.
That's everybody's left, yeah.
Yeah, I think because Lily is on one and then the other three get in the other. So they're in the sky and they see a shit ton of explosions are happening. They think it's over, but it's not. So the monster reaches up and hits the helicopters down, which has HUD, Rob, and Beth in it.
I think
the one Lily was in also got hit down at some point because there's no survivors from the video. Sorry, spoiler.
Wow. Everyone's dead.
Yeah. So somehow the three survive. The camera kind of comes to.
Sorry. Just got time. Are you getting this too?
No.
Public safety alert?
Is it just a reminder to shelter in?
Nope. Oh. Something else. Let me see. This is weird.
Yeah. This is really weird because it's happening right now.
And now my dog is also wireless emergency alerts. Is this it? Sorry. Hate to interrupt, but no, Jesus. No,
perfect.
I can't. I don't know what this is. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it.
So I was getting an alert, and I guess if you hit the thing, it just like goes, and I'm like, oh my God. Search using Google. Okay, I guess I'm going to have to find out what it is later because I have no idea what the alert was for, but it was something for Santa Clara. Okay, something's going on in Santa Clara. Okay. Great, sure great. Maybe that's this.
People keep getting reminders to stay in shelter. I know that, like in different areas.
Jesus. Okay, because, continue as we get an alert on my phone. Jesus Christ, what's going on?
Creepy. Explosion's happening and they think it's over. Oh, so the plane or the helicopter crashes down.
Okay.
So unfortunately, the monster catches up to them, even though three have survived.
Yeah.
They pull out HUD because like the video camera's just on the ground and they can hear like the radio that's in the helicopter going off.
Yeah.
Like, talking off and on. And then Rob and Beth pull out HUD somehow, like, and they're somehow alive. I don't even know how that happens.
Wow.
And HUD like holding the camera towards him and behind him is this Godzilla looking motherfucker.
What?
Like, holy shit. So that's like the first time you really, really see like, there's a fucking monster in New York.
There's something that's not normal. Not supposed to be there.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, what the fuck?
Holy
this is like
shit.
For all those people because they think this monster's somehow related to aliens. I think we go into that a little bit later.
Oh my God.
So Rob and Beth like try to run away from the monster and get under this bridge. Like it's a little bridge in, I think they're in Central Park again. I think that's where the evacuation zone was. And they hear the radio from the pilot's hand radio saying that there is a 2-minute warning to hammer down protocol,
okay.
Which means blow this city the fuck up in everyday talk.
Oh, hell no.
The air sirens start to go off and you begin to hear explosions. So the air siren is like, okay, we're getting ready to do it. And in the background, you can hear the monster screaming, an explosion happens, and all you see is from the camera is debris.
Okay.
And this is really sad because then you hear like Rob and Beth like telling each other they loved each other. They said their goodbyes on the camera right before that. And then that's it. Like there's explosions. So, of course, there's a lot more of this footage. Or there's not a lot more of this footage. Or I guess there's a lot more to this footage than what I explained. So this footage is about 84. I put inches long. It's about 84 minutes long.
It's 84 inches long.
And the footage is part of a case referred to as Cloverfield. But it's super hard to find more information. And it seems that this footage was leaked without people.
Ayo.
Woo, so my reference think, is.
I think we figured out what happened.
My references is Cloverfield the movie, Wikipedia, and fandom.com, which had a Cloverfield Wikipedia. There was like a Cloverfield Wikipedia.
April Fool.
I don't know if any of y'all else has watched Cloverfield. It's actually one of my like favorite kind of scary. I mean, it's not scary per se, but action films.
And okay, guys, fans, all three of you, not going to lie. I watched it for the first time last week and I told Brie, I was like, oh my God, I literally just watched this movie.
Love it.
Like just now. And she's like, are you serious? And I was like, yes. Isn't this crazy? And she's like, yep, doing it for an episode. I'm like, oh my God.
I planned for a while to do this for an episode.
Love
if
it.
You haven't watched it, you have Netflix. It is on Netflix. Please go watch it. It's great. It is pretty gnarly though.
It's good. It's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's all good. Like Blair Witch first person recording.
Yeah. So some people might be a little bit like, whoa, I felt like I was sick because like I can't watch it. But look, I got motion sickness, y'all. I watched it. It was fine. Yeah.
It's pretty fine. Cheesy in the way because of that. But, oh, and the HUD is from Silicon Valley.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. Early acting days. Love it.
And then Marlene is from, who HUD has a huge crush on, is from Mean Girls.
Not Mean Girls.
No, she's from Mean Girls.
She's in Mean Girls?
Lizzie.
Oh, she's, yes. Okay.
She's
wait, Lacey Chabot.
Kaplan. I think it is, but she's what's the goth chick?
She broke girls, didn't she? No, it's
no,
not she broke
no.
Girls.
You're
I'm thinking of the other girl.
I know
okay.
You're from Nick and
you're right. You're right. You are correct. Yes, it's the girl from yes.
She's one of my favorite actresses. Like random. Actresses.
I do like her, and I can't believe I completely blanked on that. I was like, wait, no, it's the girl from Two Broke Girls, and I was like, wait, no, they look like the sisters.
But her character in Mean Girls looks nothing like her, like normally, essentially, because
also goth. True.
Yeah.
Also true. Yes.
So
wow, Brie.
Thanks. Yeah. Wow. That was a thing.
That was fun.
I hope that seemed, you know, realistic enough, I guess, even though it's a monster that is from Italy.
I mean, I attribute my great acting skills to being so surprised.
Yeah. Oh, so great. I think you did great.
So great. So great.
There is like I think it's three different Cloverfield movies.
There is. And the really interesting thing is I've actually seen, there I did it again, the really interesting thing.
I've actually seen, it's not interesting, but I saw a later one before I saw the first one.
Is it like Cloverfield Lane or 10?
It's the one where she's chapped with John Goodman.
Yes. 10, yeah. I think it's called 10 Cloverfield Lane. That one is like so weird. That's like
and that was super random. Like I had jumped online and I was like, oh my God, great. This looks scary. I'm going to watch it. And so,
And I forget what the third one is. So in celebration of April Fool's Day, and I think in a way to hopefully bring our spirits up a little bit.
Yeah.
As what this was. Brett
for sure
has a great segment that is like normal and it's great because it's a bonus episode. So
you guys, bonus episode means we go off the rails.
Yeah.
So.
I'm really excited that you're doing this because I'm really excited to hear.
Also, Michelle would appreciate that reference, don't you think? Off the rails.
Ha! Oh, yes, Michelle.
In light of April Fool's Day, I thought it would actually be really fun to go online and find some of the greatest April Fool's Day jokes. I did try to find some more weather-related stuff. I really only found one, which actually wasn't a joke, which I thought was kind of cool. So sources include, of course, the famous and ever-loved Wikipedia, hoax.org, boardpanda.com, justsomething.co, history.com, and a handful of others. So one was posted by Dr. something, Dr. something, Dr. Jeff. I wrote this down and I actually forgot it. But he was a weatherman. And he posted a handful of really funny stuff and then also posted some really interesting stuff. He said that there was an all-time March warmth record in Wyoming, Nebraska. I don't remember the date which this occurred. I feel like it was in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. But he said that all-time March warming records in Wyoming, most of Wyoming and much of Nebraska set or tied their record for all-time warmest March temperatures yesterday. No fooling. And it happened to be on April Fool's. People were like, this is going to be a joke. A strong ridge high of high pressure that generated a strong flow of warm air from the Southwest was responsible for this. So check this out. Okay. This is March in the Midwest. Okay. This never happens. And again, I think this is the early 2000s. I don't have the exact date on it because I just suck at cut and paste, I guess. So Omaha, Nebraska, 91 degrees.
Wow.
Casper, Wyoming, 77. Rock Spring, Wyoming, 72. Warland, Wyoming, 81. Sydney, Wyoming, 83. Lincoln, Nebraska, 91.
That's so crazy.
In March.
Wow.
March.
No fooling.
No fooling. No fooling. It actually happened. So I'm going to go through a handful of really fun April Fool's jokes that were played by either the media, you know, radio stations, TV stations, et cetera, that people really got a kick out of and that have been very memorable, mm-hmm. In history. So, one of my favorites, from, I think this was a Bored Panda. I can't remember what the website was, but they had basically the top 100. Uh-huh. This one's called Swiss Mountain Cleaners. In April, 2009, April 1st, of course, the Swiss Mountain Tourism Board released a video that revealed the secret of why their mountains were so clean. It was due to the hard work of the Association of Swiss Mountain Cleaners, whose members daily scaled the Alps, scrubbing the rocks of unsightly bird droppings.
Oh my gosh.
The cleanings not only maintained the beauty of the Alps, but prevented droppings from eating away at the rocks, causing cavities that might eventually lead to the complete erosion and disappearance of the mountains. Millions of people, which, come on, people, bird poo doesn't eat mountains, okay? It eats your car paint, but not mountains.
Oh my gosh.
So millions of people watched the video and 30,000 took an online test to determine whether they had what it took to become a mountain cleaner, and AKA, they called it Felsenputzer. Later that year, due to popular demand, the Bruni cable car company began offering actual mountain cleaning course that attracted would-be Felsenputzers from around the world. So basically they would start to clean up garbage and shit like that. But like, really? Like, it was just a scam. So I was like, okay, that's pretty amazing. Okay. This one I really, really love. Okay. All right. You ready for this?
Yes. I think.
Orange bearing pine trees.
Oh yeah. Okay.
April 1st, 1950. Okay. So I feel like I did look at something called Washing the Lions, and it was like one of the very first April Fool's jokes provided by the media back in like 1600 in England. It was like ridiculous, like 16 and whatever, but okay. Motorists driving along the scenic rim of the World Highway near Lake Arrowhead in Southern California encountered something remarkable. All the pine and cedar trees lining the road had grown oranges overnight.
Of course, huh? Interesting.
I'm sorry, but
a phenomenon.
As a road tripper myself, if I had driven, that's a new word.
Yeah.
driven into like Muir Woods or something and saw pine trees covered in oranges, I would kind of flip the fuck out, right? Yeah. Like, be like, can we take pictures? Now, naturally, it's 1950. So they're like, pull over, get the camera out of the bag because you don't have phones.
Yeah.
All the pine and cedar trees lining the road had grown oranges overnight. The transformation turned out to be the work of residents in a nearby town of Sky Forest, led by the cartoonist Frank Adams. They had crept out during the night and strung 50,000 oranges in the trees along a 1 mile section of the highway. It was fruit left over from the recent National Orange Show in San Bernardino.
I love it.
The two dudes are like, what are we going to do with all this fruit? I know. Let's just like put them in pine trees and see if we can make it look like these oranges grew overnight.
I Love it.
Isn't that great? I was like, that's, oh my God, so that's amazing. So great April Fools prank. Thank you, gentlemen, Frank Adams and other guy who strung those out. That was awesome. Okay. Number 79. Frogs meet wave. So this is an interesting one. April 1st, 1906, the front page of the Wichita Daily Eagle carried news of an astounding natural phenomenon. A huge wave 11 feet high was moving southward down the Arkansas River. Simultaneously, a giant mass of millions of frogs spanning a distance over 11 miles was migrating northward up the river. The two, wave and frogs, were predicted to meet at Wichita around 10 o'clock in the morning. So you got one coming from the north, one coming from the south heading, and they're going to like, oh my God, this massive wave and all these gaggle of frogs are going to just be like, boom. Okay. The report brought out thousands of Kansans people. Yes, Kansas people who lined the banks of the river eager to see such a once in a lifetime event. When after 3 hours, the wonder never materialized. It occurred to the crowd what day it was, and they dispersed quickly back to their homes. So for 3 hours, these people stood going, frog, wave, wave, and nothing happened.
What time is it, guys? What time is it?
I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious. I was like, that's amazing. So another one I thought was really funny. In 1983, so this is when I was around 6-7 years old, a new scientist, which is
negative four.
She was still a twinkle in her father's eye. New Scientist, which is a publication, ran an article about the first successful plant animal hybrid that had resulted in a tomato containing genes from a cow. The cow-mato was said to have tough, leathery skin and grew discus-shaped clumps of animal protein sandwiched between an envelope of tomato fruit. The article included clues that it was a joke, such as the names of the researchers MacDonald and Wimpy, who supposedly worked at the University of Hamburg.
But these clues
weren't recognized. So there was a Brazilian science magazine called Veja, which ran it as a feature and dubbed the hybrid Boy Mate. And basically it was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. They've made this incredible hybrid. And it was like, dude, it was a joke.
So
this also like kind of like reiterates the whole cross-cultural lines. Like sometimes things that are funny in like American humor don't cross over to like whatever their country's humor, because they're just like, wait, that's real? And they're like, no, it's not.
Yeah. What's funny about that is now there is like plant-based
meats.
Yeah, yeah, like that's so funny. Like we have pretty much, because we have the meats that bleed, the fake meats that bleed, like because we have Beyond Impossible, and I think Beyond is the one that's like
this. It was basically sort of like foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah, which Beyond Burgers are pretty good. I've had one before. Yeah.
Okay, so I put this one in here because I knew you would appreciate this as both somebody who appreciates lovely pens and handwriting and English as
I'm so ready.
Yeah, and writing and like you this is something you would completely appreciate. Okay. Sans Serif. The Guardian, which is a very well-known paper, published a special 7-page supplement devoted to sans serif, a small republic said to consist of several semicolon-shaped islands located in the Indian Ocean. And I'm looking at Brie right now. She's dying already. She's like, Jesus Christ. I would love to go there. A series of articles affectionately described the geography and culture of this obscure nation. Its two main islands were named Uppercase and lowercase, spelled C-A-I-S-S-E. Its capital, Bodoni, and its leader was General Pica. The Guardian's phones rang all day as readers sought more information about the idyllic holiday spot. They're like, oh my God, where is this? I have to know. I want to go vacation there. Only a few noticed that everything about the island was named after the printer's terminology. Mm-hmm. The success of this hoax is wildly credited with launching the enthusiasm of April foolery that gripped the British tabloids in subsequent decades. So from there on, they were like, yep, we're going to do this. This is hilarious. So
yeah, I was kind of hoping that like pens grew on trees or something.
Yeah. Oh, it gets better. Trust me. I've got more fun stuff. Okay. One of my favorite things to read and that made me laugh out loud, literally do the whole LOL thing, was the office pranks. Okay. So there's been several office pranks where they put a new toaster, a new coffee maker, a water dispenser, et cetera. And they actually tape a little piece of paper on there that indicates that the new product that they've put in this office for their employees to enjoy is voice activated.
Oh, yes.
So the people that are working there are listening for hours of going on, water, coffee, serve coffee. I want coffee. And they're like screaming at machines that are not voice activated. I'm like, oh my God. I couldn't stop laughing.
Other people do something like that. Like say voice activated.
I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it.
That has to be the easiest prank to do too. I want to do that.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm like, yep, I'm definitely going to do it if I ever get back into an office environment. But right now, I'm not. So,
I mean, people do it out like put a sign on the door that says voice activated door open. Like maybe there's like, say this word.
And you record it and you sit outside of your, you sit outside of your window and just record people shouting at the door, open.
Yeah.
Open, open sesame, open door. Said, I don't know how to say this. Like, it's just, I absolutely
new keyless entry, voice activated.
Right? I absolutely love the ingenuity of people to amuse themselves. It's just fantastic. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So that one was one of the ones that made me laugh the hardest. Now, I've got two more left. This next one, I was just like, okay, really? I cannot believe this place participated in it, but I absolutely love what they did. And it just made me like laugh uncontrollably. Pornhub. Everybody knows Pornhub. Don't lie. Mm-hmm. You know it. Everybody knows Pornhub. We've all been there. And if you haven't, you're a liar. So Pornhub, one of the biggest pornography sites, sharing sites. It changed its name in 2016 to Cornhub. Like C as in cat, O-R-N, hub. And displayed suggestive videos featuring corn.
Oh my God. That makes me so uncomfortable.
I know.
Like this, so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable. And I was like, yay, Pornhub, for reaching out to the whole like American culture on this. April Fool. Yeah. That is amazing.
I mean,
like
corn,
that's
cornhole.
Ingenuity.
Yeah, that is. Oh God.
Ingenuity. So they did a similar April Fool's prank on 2018, this time changing its name to Hornhub with an H. And displayed videos about women blowing horns instead of pornography. Yes. And you know what the best part of this is? Is like, you know that somebody actually, that was like their kink.
Horn blowing.
Horn blowing. Somebody actually was like, yes, I found my sight. And it's like, no, that's not real, bro.
Not the truth, bro.
I know. Not true. So I'm going to finish with, the weatherman, Jeff Masters. That's what it is. I was like, I knew I wrote it down somewhere. Jeff Masters. Okay. Dr. Jeff Masters is a TV weatherman. He said, I've done a lot of talks about weather to schools and I've gotten hundreds of thank you letters from the kids afterwards, but I've never gotten a letter quite like the one from KVUE Morning and Midday meteorologist Albert Ramon in Austin, Texas. So Albert Ramon was the meteorologist who went to a school, local school. Albert Ramon from Texas, who worked for KVUE, got a letter from a kid after talking to a school. He got several letters, but they've featured two of them here, okay? So I'm going to try to say this well. So one kid wrote to him, someday, when I become supreme ultra lord of the universe, I will not make you a slave. You will live in my 200-story castle where unicorn servants will feed you donuts off their horns.
Oh, I love kids.
Out of the mouths of babes, right? Like, yes. I love children sometimes.
Oh, my God.
And this is my finale here, right? You ready? Thank you again for teaching us about meteorology. Totally misspelled. You're more awesome than a monkey wearing a tuxedo made out of bacon riding a cyborg unicorn with a lightsaber for the horn on the tip of a space shuttle closing in on Mars while engulfed in flames.
That sounds really cool, though.
I was like, that is the best job ever.
That is. I want to do that.
I want to do that. I want to ride a unicorn with a lightsaber on the tip of a space shuttle into Mars.
I was going to say, it kind of reminds me of like how some people, there've been memes going around about COVID right now. And one of them is like, it sounds like a kid's story or a story.
It does. Oh my gosh.
Like, one day there was a virus that made everyone stay home and we ran out of toilet paper and then it snowed because in Portland it snowed. Like,
yes.
Not soon after we were in lockdown.
Yep.
Oh my
I love gosh. It. I love it. And so that's my April Fool's contribution, people. I wanted to bring a little levity into your day. I hope that Bree did that as well with her amazing story of Cloverfield. We all need a little laughter and we all need to remember to help one another and be kind. Yeah. Yes, COVID sucks. Yes, it sucks being stuck in your house for days on end, but I got to tell you, it definitely puts things in perspective. So,
yeah. So we obviously shared some stuff in descriptions and in this podcast. We would love to hear your suggestions, what you've been doing to stay sane.
Yes.
I think that would be great. We would love to hear. And even if you use something that we suggested or were using it before, we just like to hear your feedback. And we just need more social interaction. Please talk to us.
Yeah, we need help. We're going nuts over here.
Oh my gosh.
Look at my hair.
I know. Brett has some great bangs.
This is so grunge right now. The bangs to the hat.
I was like bugging. My husband's trying to read and I just kept like bugging him. I made a song that sounded like a Queen song about my cat. This isolation is doing a number on me.
Yep.
I miss in-person classes.
Yeah. Doing a number on all of us for sure.
Virtual happy hour, definitely happening. I think I'm going to do a virtual hump day starting next week too.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm in. You know, I'm all about that.
Oh yeah. Just trying to find different times. We found out that when you have about 20 people in one video chat, it's really hard to talk.
It's really hard to talk. So like, I mean, it's hard enough when you have two people in a video chat, but like if you got 20, everybody's trying to talk over each other. And the best part was like, you always have one of these people who are, they see the brighter side of things in the group. Mm-hmm. And so that's our friend Megan. And she was like, guys, it was just like being in a real bar. After 20 minutes, you kind of was like, it's noise. I'm going to talk to you. And like, we literally had like 16 conversations going on at once. Somebody was talking to somebody else and we were listening to just that one person, but everybody else was talking in the background. It was great. It was great. I loved it.
And I would suggest that someone started doing, and then I kind of pitched in too, was going around the circle and asking, like one thing was like, how long have you been in isolation? What have you been eating? Like, what's the favorite thing you ate? Like, what's the favorite thing?
What are you doing to keep you from being bored?
Yeah. It was really fun. I got some good ideas and I really enjoyed, and that's when me and my husband play gin rummy now. So that's kind of one of the things that we're doing to stay sane. Gin rummy and wine works really well.
We do wine and designated survivor.
Nice.
Yeah. We like that a lot. But I would like to find something more interactive. So maybe we're going to start playing like Uno or Jenga. Because, you know, why not?
Yeah. I suggest Gin Rummy. There's some good YouTube videos on how to do it.
Right? We used to play Gin Rummy when we go camping. That was our thing. Yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, everyone. Seriously, for joining us.
Yes.
Look for the helpers, as Mr. Rogers used to say.
Yes.
There is a lot of health right now for mental illness, because in isolation it is kind of hard sometimes to, as I call it myself, saying stabilize with my anxiety.
Shit, girl, there's people online that are literally saying DM me, like, you know, I don't want to say no name individuals, but there's a girl in Portland that I follow and I absolutely love her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, are you suffering from COVID blues? Give me a call. We'll talk, we'll chat, whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? And I love that people are just opening their hearts and their phones for people who are just stressing out during this time. I think it's amazing.
I know I have a friend that's doing like a therapy session on Wednesday because she's had some other personal trauma that's happened during all this. And so she's just trying to grieve while being in COVID. And so it's, I'm very proud of her. And I think it's a really good step that people
can
take. Yeah. I think it's important.
That's great. Kind of made me cry. Don't do that.
Sorry. Yeah. That's why I didn't go as deep into it. But yeah.
So
I think as usual, as we would say, duck
and cover
into your fort in the living room.
Duck and cover wherever you are because you're at home.
And there's nothing wrong with laying in bed for an extra hour or two.
Also true. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge it.
Bye.
Bye.